Good evening and welcome to Boston University's World of Ideas. I'm Deborah Becker. Tonight we have a lecture sponsored by the Institute for Human Sciences titled Legal Migration and the Fight Against Illegal Immigration. Speaking will be Franco Frattini, Vice President of the European Commission and EU Commissioner for Justice, Freedom and Security. Tonight's moderator will be Elizabeth Prodromo, Assistant Professor of International Relations and Associate Director of the Institute of Culture, Religion and World Affairs at Boston University. We begin with an introduction by Institute for Human Sciences Executive Director Irina Grudzinska-Gross.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to tonight's lecture, Legal Migration and the Fight Against Illegal Immigration, with European Commission Vice President and Commissioner for Freedom, Security and Justice, Franco Frattini. We welcome you very much here. Tonight's moderator, whom I'm going to introduce, and she is going to introduce the main speaker, is Elizabeth Prodromo, Assistant Professor of International Relations and Associate Director of the Institute on Culture, Religion and World Affairs at Boston University. A regional expert on Southeastern Europe and the Eastern Mediterranean, Professor Prodromo works on religion and international relations, nationalism, conflict resolution, and non-traditional security threats. She has been an invited policy consultant at the U.S. State Department, the Foreign Affairs Training Center at the Foreign Service Institute, the U.S. Defense Intelligence Council, the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency, and the Council on Foreign Relations. She is currently working on a book on Orthodox Christianity in American public life, the challenges and opportunities of religious pluralism in 21st centuries. So, as I said, Professor Prodromo will introduce tonight's speaker. Professor Prodromo.
Good evening. It's a pleasure to be here. It's a pleasure to introduce our speaker for this evening and to be part of this this seminar series. Commissioner Frattini is, as many of you may know, the Vice President of the European Commission, and he's also EU Commissioner for Freedom, Justice, and Security. He was appointed to his current post in November of 2004, and his challenge, a very significant and interesting one, is to deal with the complex issue of the interface between the protection of human rights on the one hand and counterterrorism policy on the other. Therefore, the topic for his lecture this evening, legal immigration and the fight against illegal immigration. Now, Commissioner Frattini has a long and distinguished record of service in the European Union, as well as in Italian politics and public life. His academic and professional training lie in the areas of economics and law, and this training has led him to positions as Rome City Councilor, legal advisor to the Minister of Treasury, legal advisor to the Deputy Prime Minister of Italy. He also served as Minister for Civil Service and for the coordination of Intelligence, Security Service, and Security Services in Italy, I think during the period from 2001-2002. And then finally, as Italy's Minister of Foreign Affairs in the 2002-2004 period immediately preceding his current EU appointment. So I think it should be clear from the scope of his past public service that he clearly possesses the kind of sophistication and training that's necessary to deal with these challenges of counterterrorism, immigration, and the harmonization of national criminal laws. These are crucial to the success of the European Union effort to balance counterterrorism policy on the one hand with the protection of human rights on the other. As a serving commissioner on the United States Commission on International Religious Freedom, I'm particularly interested in some of the areas of overlap and contrast between EU and United States policy approaches on these issues. So I look forward to his lecture. With no further ado, I introduce our speaker, Commissioner Frattini.
Thank you very much, Professor Prodromo, and I warmly thank the Boston University for inviting me, for giving me the opportunity to exchange some points of view regarding a very sensitive issue, that is immigration. First of all, immigration has and will have in the future a twofold approach. Because on one hand, we do need to manage legal migration, and when I talk about managing legal migration, I use intentionally a word that is manage means prevent and elaborate a comprehensive strategy towards legal and economic migration. The second part, the second track of our strategy should be prevent and fight against illegal immigration, and particularly against trafficking and smuggling in human beings. Because, of course, on one end, we should be aware of the fact that legal migration could be and is right now an opportunity for the European Union, not a threat. And on the other end, that principle of full respect of national, international and European laws cannot be undermined by opening a dialogue on whether or not law should be respected. Against trafficking in human beings, zero tolerance. We cannot allow to exploit women and children for sexual purposes without strongly reacting. So, when I talk about strategy, I talk first of all about a political strategy. Europe needs to elaborate a comprehensive political strategy. Now I would like to stress with you just a few points that are, if I may say, the guidelines of our political strategy. First of all, European strategy, because no one can have doubts about the importance of working together and about importance of setting up together at European level a strategy rather than at national level. Is absolutely impossible even to imagine to leave alone member states of Europe like my own country, Italy, or Spain, or Malta, or Greece, and Cyprus, to face the issue of migration without a comprehensive approach of the European Union. There, European Union is an added value. That's why I talk about European strategy. That's the precondition to work together, to have a clear idea, to have a clear political commitment. The first part of our approach is about legal migration. What has happened in the past? In the past, there was on the table of the European Council a proposal made by the Commission, and a proposal unfortunately seen as a precooked solution, elaborated in Brussels without appropriate and broad discussion. The result was no comprehensive European strategy. That's why, when I became vice president and member of the European Commission, in charge, among others, for immigration, I preferred to open a new public, transparent, and European debate about economic migration. Is it possible to have an European green card allowing people to work regardless the origin and regardless the place where they work? So can they choose when they want to work within the European member states? A lot of problems, a lot of questions, some proposal. One proposal is to improve the links between legal economic migration and development of the origin countries. If you talk about the best use of remittances of migrants, you will find that remittances are a very huge amount of money, and of course voluntarily they can be channeled towards improving the social and economic conditions of the origin countries of migrants. Because, as you know, there is a very low possibility to access to financial services, to bank systems, to the possibilities of creating a small or medium enterprises in origin countries. We aim to improve these capacities. We aim to give them, to give migrants the possibilities through their remittances to cooperate to improve the local conditions of their own countries. And we will deal with the very sensitive point and problem of the so-called brain drain. I do prefer to focus on the brain circulation rather than to brain drain. Because if you think about origin countries, some member states are sometimes directly or indirectly recruiting only the highly skilled people from the origin countries. But when I meet African leaders, they tell me, please help us to avoid reducing the capacities of contributing provided for by the highly skilled compatriots. If they live towards Europe, how can imagine to help us without this contribution? So if you talk about a brain circulation, you could stimulate to put highly skilled people at disposal of their origin countries, if it's possible. It is an open point, it's an open problem, but when I've illustrated this proposal to the president of the World Bank in Washington, he gave immediately instructions to elaborate joint programs and projects, European Union, World Bank, to improve the local development capacities by exploiting remittances of migrants, for example, that demonstrates that there is a strong interest on that. There is another very sensitive topic in the context of the economic migration and legal migration area. I talk about integration policy. Dramatically, the problem of non-integration of migrants' communities is exploding and is expanding. Why? Because we didn't invest as Europe, as European Union, on integration as a whole. We didn't consider right now the integration as a crucial pillar of our immigration strategy. And that's why I'm focusing on integration as a key point to succeed in elaborating an immigration strategy for Europe. I've presented in September a policy paper, a European policy paper on integration. And I've underlined three or four guidelines regarding European responsibilities, member states' responsibilities, and, if I may say, above all, local governments' responsibilities. Because if you want to tackle integration issue, you should do that, first of all, at local level. You cannot impose from Brussels a comprehensive strategy because we are 25 member states. We have different religions, different traditions, different cultures. We cannot have just one model for the integration. And the lesson learned from the French and perhaps Dutch experiences shows that we cannot repeat models that have failed. One model because was based on the principle of juridical integration, not practical and concrete. And the second one, the Dutch one, based only on the freedom or the multiculturalism without a clear policy of integration. We should find a new model. This new model should start following a bottom-up strategy. Local governments, regions, municipalities are directly concerned because sometimes mayors are elected also thanks to migrants' votes. And anyway, because it's up to them to guarantee the access to local social services, to the education, to the learning of languages. And that's why I've met the mayors of the main cities of Europe in order to promote a network of cities aiming at improving capacities of integration of migrants and, of course, while fully respecting differences of cultures or traditions. And in this strategy, one very important pillar is and will be the role to be played by the diasporas communities, and particularly by the religious leaders. And if you consider the French tragic experience, you can agree, I hope, with me, that police response is totally not sufficient. We should have a political debate. We should put at the heart of response, a strategy, a political strategy, including a better policy for education, a better policy for learning languages, local languages, because if migrants and their families don't know the local language in the country where they live, how can they be integrated? They will be not integrated, they'd be probably frustrated and isolated. Nothing can justify a violation of the national laws. That's a principle, but that said, we should elaborate a political strategy. And that's why I've proposed, as European Union, an European Integration Fund, 1.7 million billion euros, a big amount of money, in the next European budget, in order to help local, regional, national, and European strategies for integration. Integration will be put at the heart of political strategy on immigration. An important part of this strategy will be the interfaith dialogue. I've met many times many political religious leaders of Muslim communities, of Jewish communities in the European Union, and particularly Muslim leaders are ready to work together with the Commission, with me personally, are ready to elaborate a strategy averting isolating people and frustrating them. They are our best allies, together with, as I said, mayors and local governments. Of course, we cannot forget other two final points in our strategy. First point, how to tackle illegal immigration. And the last point, how to tackle migration as a whole through an international European policy, not limited to the cooperation among member states, but beyond that, to the improved cooperation with neighbors and international partners. The first of these two points, illegal immigration. I've presented a comprehensive proposal on harmonization of member states' national rules on the trafficking in human beings. I believe that trafficking in human beings, particularly women and children, is a growing tragedy, is a great business for organized crime, and victims are exploited in a very inhuman manner. We cannot no longer allow that. That's why we cannot allow in European space safe heavens for organized crime and traffickers. We cannot allow very different regimes in national laws. That's why we need harmonization. But harmonization is not enough. We need more operational cooperation. Operational cooperation means to provide law enforcement and police authorities with appropriate tools to prevent and to fight against trafficking in human beings. And then we need more protection for victims, just to give you an example, I've proposed, and now I'm encouraging member states to approve as soon as possible the proposal, the idea of giving victims exploited for sexual reasons a fast track residence permit if they cooperate with authorities, if they help discovering responsible and perpetrators and traffickers. In that case, we should grant a fast track for the for these people to be not only restored, but to be helped to be full member of the social context where they live, where they have been exploited. In other words, our aim is to turn the tragedy into an opportunity to be, if I may say, facilitated in their way towards fully participating in the civil society of the country where they have been exploited. And that's particularly important for children. I'm preparing an European Charter of Children, of Rights of Children, because it seems to me that we cannot tackle illegal immigration without dealing with victims, because the illegal migrants are two times victims. First, because they are paid less than legal workers. They are exploited. And secondly, because they don't have rights. They don't have rights to access to social services, to free education, to health, and that's impossible to accept for the European Union based on the Charter on Fundamental Values. I don't see a difference in treating in a humane manner between people illegally staying and legally staying. When I talk about a human being should be fully respected, regardless of the juridical situation of his or her residence permit. That's why I will launch a strategy based also on the full respect of fundamental rights of individuals. Last point, international cooperation. We cannot succeed without getting involved all the third countries concerned, origin countries and transit countries. The tragic events in Ceuta and Melilla, you remember, in Morocco, demonstrated how much importance is to work together. On one end, to help partners like Morocco, like Algeria, like Tunisia, or Turkey, that are transit countries, we should help them because we cannot ask Morocco to be the border guard corp of Europe. We should help them through financial, political, technical assistance. We should improve their capacities. We should improve training of local police. We should improve technical assistance capacities for refugees located there in a very desperate situation. We cannot ignore that just few hundred kilometers far from Italy, there are people living in a very desperate situation in Libya or in Morocco or in Algeria in the desert. And then we should deal with the origin countries. I've launched in September two first regional pilot projects exactly aiming at improving origin countries' capacities to tackle illegal flows at the origin. Because when people leave their own countries, they are not happy at all to leave. They are forced. They are desperate. So the best way is to help the origin countries. The first program will be dedicated to the Great Lakes region countries, and particularly to Tanzania. And the second program will be dedicated to the eastern dimension, Ukraine, Belarus, and Moldova. These programs aim at improving capacities of protecting there, at improving the social conditions there, at avoiding this enormous, tremendous, and growing flows of desperate peoples dying in the desert while trying to go north is unacceptable, and we should react. These two pilot programs will be the first European example. And what about transit countries? We are not only through financial support, but also through political and technical support, helping them. I gave instructions to the newly established agency, European Agency for External Borders, to put its expertise at disposal of Morocco and Algeria in order to help training border guard corps, in order to exchange best practices, and they will do that, of course. We are improving the Euro-Mediterranean dimension of our partnership in order to put the migration question, the migration issue, at the core of the Euro-Mediterranean strategy. We should improve this dimension. Security, migration, asylum and refugees issues should be at the core of the reinvigorated Euro-Mediterranean strategy. But of course, we need also a broader political approach. We are studying about organizing an international conference to launch a true African-European partnership. A conference at level of regional organizations like the African Union and the European Union to work together and to set guidelines to have a political common approach to tackle together Europe and Africa legal and illegal migration. I see only this possibility to elaborate not only emergency reactions but a mid-long-term political strategy. We cannot no longer accept losses of lives in the Mediterranean Sea. We cannot accept desperate people trying to climb over the wall between the southern Melilla enclave and the European Spanish space, we cannot accept the desperate conditions of refugees outside Europe, but very close to Europe. So that's in brief, the strategy. These are the main guidelines, but of course, to do that, we need political consensus. It's not a question of laws. It's not a question of bureaucratic approach. It's a question of recognizing the crucial importance of this issue. And that's why the leaders of Europe acknowledged at Hampton Court, at the European Council, at the highest political level, that immigration is a crucial topic for the future of Europe. And they put at the heart a political strategy tackling immigration, legal and illegal. That's the difference between a bureaucratic and legalistic approach and the political one. Thank you.
Thank you for a comprehensive discussion of the issues at hand. I believe that it's not only my responsibility but my privilege to begin with some comments and then perhaps a couple of questions. And I'll try to be as brief as possible in doing both of those. I want to begin with where you began, which is the use of your terms management and prevention. And I wondered if I could ask you to speak a little bit to us about the possibilities for developing a preemptive approach to issues related to the interface between migration and counterterrorism when it comes to the EU enlargement strategy itself. And I'm thinking in particular of what you labeled as transit countries. Interestingly enough, current EU candidate Turkey, as well as Romania and Bulgaria, who will begin their accession discussions in 2007, are key transit countries for the kinds of illegal migration patterns that you talk about, particularly trafficking in women and children. And the penetration of those patterns of migration, immigration, into larger criminal networks associated with trafficking in narcotics, small weapons, and components of weapons of mass destruction. And I wondered if there's any thought to developing a preemptive strategy around these issues as they relate to candidate countries. And we could take this to the next level as well to consider possible candidates in a future round of enlargement, in particular the so-called Albanian Triangle countries, Albania proper, Kosovo, and Yugoslav Macedonia, and also Bosnia. So I wondered if you could speak a bit about this and the way in which the enlargement process itself is taking into account these broader patterns of migration, immigration, and trafficking in peoples and goods. That's a sort of general observation and question. A second one concerns a very specific policy proposal that you recommended, or a mechanism in particular. You talked about the possibility of offering fast-track residence permits to the victims, women and children in particular, of those who are trafficked, as it were, and those who migrate for the most basic of reasons, survival, with the worst kinds of consequences. I wondered if there's any thought to offering permits to families as well. One of the reasons that women and children have not cooperated as readily as one would hope precisely because they're victims. They haven't cooperated as readily as we would hope in bringing to justice those who traffic them. It's precisely because they fear retribution effects to family members at home, back in home countries. And I wondered if this offering of fast-track residence permits would in any way link to the possibilities of bringing those family members to avoid the penalties and the retribution effects that we know are oftentimes leveled against them in the countries of origin. And then finally, this is, a broad question, but it grows out of your discussion of interfaith dialogue as crucial to broader patterns of integration, social and cultural integration, rather than the formal style of integration that we've seen in many EU countries. The notion of including religious groups, organizations, and actors in the kind of broader public policy discussions that you're talking about certainly runs counter to the French model of Republican Jacobin secularism, if I could call it that. And it runs counter to many multicultural models of secularity in Europe. And I wonder if there's any kind of consensus about the gains involved in including religious actors in these kinds of a discussion. Because, again, it's something that's a bit counterintuitive when one thinks about the way in which various European countries have seen the role of religion in the public sphere.
Three very complex questions. The first question. Well, you know probably very well that in the current strategy towards further enlargement of the European Union, in our strategy towards candidate countries, the issues of security, immigration, and justice are and will be very decisive points. When I talk with leaders and ministers of candidate countries or of neighbor countries, countries that have an European vocation but are still negotiating, for example, association agreements, I always understand that the main concern, one of the main concerns, is to fulfill requirements about legal system, fight against corruption, fight against organized crime, tackle illegal immigration, and work together on preventing and fighting terrorism. In other words, I feel that candidate countries and pre-candidate countries are well aware of the crucial importance of addressing issues like trafficking in human beings. Another thing is if they meet all the requirements, if they are ready, or if they are successful in implementing policies about fight against organized crime. Just two examples: Romania and Bulgaria. They will join, I think very probably, the European Union in January 2007. The last report issued by the European Commission was focused particularly on areas falling under my portfolio. One of the criticism was on the capacity of implementing an effective fight against organized crime. On Romania, Commission stressed the importance of making more effective prosecution and punishment of perpetrators of trafficking in children. You know how much sensitive he is for Romania, how much sensitive was in the recent past in Romania the problem of trafficking in children. On Bulgaria, one of the most sensitive points was and will be in the coming months the implementation of real independent system of justice, granting to magistrates real independence from the government. So, on Turkey, our first and main concern is to guarantee that Turkey fully accepts European standards in the criminal and the penal and juvenile codes. And they have changed. They made huge progress even before starting negotiations. And now they are ready to negotiate the readmission agreement for illegal migrants. That's a good message. That's a positive message, because the answer is yes. We have a preemptive strategy concerning the candidate countries. Sometimes we discover problematic situations. Our intention is to help them to meet all the requirements to be full members. Concerning the Western Balkan countries, Western Balkan area is a very particular region, very special region, because you cannot treat equally Serbia and Montenegro on one end and Kosovo on the other. We cannot consider at the same time, in the same manner, Bosnia-Herzegovina or Albania. And, of course, if you talk about Montenegro, probably in Montenegro is still the most dangerous gang smuggling in drugs towards Europe. They are making huge efforts, but they are unable to succeed right now. We should help. It is in our interest. They are neighbors. They have an European vocation. If you consider Albania, Albania made huge progress. Albania signed a readmission agreement with Europe. They accept to take back all illegal migrants, even non-Albanian illegal migrants. And it is a very good step forward. But right now, Serbia and Montenegro didn't accept to do the same, not talking about Bosnia and Herzegovina. So, on Western Balkan countries, we should keep a balanced approach. Help them in order to improve capacities and security, in order to help them in prevention against terrorism. You probably know that very dangerous cells of fundamentalists are located in Bosnia-Herzegovina, very, very close to my own country. And so it is in our common interest to help them to eradicate these very dangerous terrorist threats. But it's not so easy, because corruption is still very high. Capacities in terms of skills are still very low. And that's why we are elaborating a roadmap for the Western Balkans countries. One point is and will be on the top of our agenda in talks with neighbors: promotion and protection of fundamental rights of people. Europe is flagging this point because I think if Europe will be able to not impose but to demand the full respect of human dignity, we will help also our neighbors to improve their own capacity. And that's why we will establish an European Agency for Fundamental Rights and important people and actors like member states, NGOs and others are demanding to expand the scope of the agency beyond the territory of the European Union towards the candidate countries, in order to have this watchdog body dealing with not only member states but also candidate countries. In that case, we will strengthen our capacity.
You've been listening to a lecture sponsored by the Institute for Human Sciences titled Legal Migration and the Fight Against Illegal Immigration. Speaking was Franco Frattini, Vice President of the European Commission and EU Commissioner for Justice, Freedom and Security. Tonight's moderator was Elizabeth Prodromo, Assistant Professor of International Relations and Associate Director of the Institute of Culture, Religion and World Affairs at Boston University. We began with an introduction by Institute for Human Sciences Executive Director Irina Grudzinska-Gross. For a CD or cassette of Boston University's World of Ideas, call 1-800-909-9287. CDs and cassettes are $15, which includes shipping and handling. Tonight's program was produced by Matt Odette and Tim Skov with help from Mike Tota. Our web producer is Angel Cazelli. I'm Deborah Becker.